What the EFL? It's the Football League podcast getting closer to full match fitness. Coming up, Coventry's homecoming is magnificent. 7. Stoke and Borough are still perfect. Regan Hendry makes David Beckham look like a chump. And Wimbledon are ace. Powered by Quinbet. This is What the EFL. And it was such a cracking weekend of action in the Football League that we've convened at 9 o'clock on Bank Holiday Monday to talk about it. Plenty to get through as well. It's me, Matt Davis Adams. I'm joined by my two regulars. Hello, Adrian Clark.
Hello. Yeah, we're a bit Robbie Keane today, aren't we? A little Coventry reference there. Sorry, Sam.
Like that.
I'll get to that. Yeah.
Sam Parkin's had a great weekend in some respects and a dreadful weekend in others because he supports QPR. You okay, Sam?
I'm all right, yeah. Despite the trouncing, I think it was nice for us, wasn't it, to play a part in the day for Coventry, you know, completing the purchase of the CBS, and we rolled over accordingly.
Yep.
Had your bellies tickled, didn't you?
We'll talk more about that game later. I did particularly enjoy the ironic cheers from the away end when Richard Kone scored in the 91st minute to make it 7-1. Right, before we get into the Championship, League One and League Two, let me tell you about the offer from our partners Quinbet, where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum 3 bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. 18 plus for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for information on responsible gambling. If you'd like to take up that offer, you'll find the link in the description of this pod, and we will have a special What the EFL price boosted offer for you ahead of the weekend's action, so keep across our socials for that. At EFL What the on X is the best place to find us. All right, let's get into the Championship. And we're going to start with Stoke, who continue to set the early pace. They top the table on goal difference after maintaining their 100% start with a 2-1 win against Southampton at St Mary's. Whoa, what do you want to talk about here, Sam? Lewis Baker and how much I love him, or Divine Mubama, whether he was hard done by, an assist from a goalkeeper? There's plenty to go at here.
I think Clarkey's got previous for this. I paused the point of impact or non-contact from Obama going around the goalkeeper. Really difficult to tell. I don't think watching it at full speed, watching it live, it looked like a dive. So, yeah, quite contentious that. And, yeah, obviously he's been a massive part of their early season success. Better in all departments, it would seem in this game. I think the most obvious kind of facet of their play is the fast, quick transitions, and encapsulated by that goal. I mean, how is Janssen still playing in the Championship? It seems to have been producing incredible saves, moments for a number of years now. He's always someone we've spoke of. Forget the throw. What about the save from Harwood Bellis? Obviously, he was beaten by a thumping header from Harwood Bellis later on, but the save, I mean, yeah, I'm not one to go heavy on goalkeepers at the best of times, but that was an unbelievable save. And then speed of thought, seeing the movement of Thomas, perfect situation for him to go and exploit for the clincher, really, because they had to play with 10 for a large period. But I think Southampton puffed and puffed. It looked like this was a pretty convincing away win. Really good hunting of the ball for the first. I think it was Downs played a straight ball, and three Stoke players in the vicinity putting him under pressure. So far, so good. Trying not to get carried away, but, you know, I really like the look of all the different units, especially that front three, and arguably the best goalkeeper in the division.
Yeah, it was a dummy, wasn't it, from Downs? So he's sort of crowded. He's got three players around him. He tries a dummy, doesn't come off, and they score from it. And you're going to, as a player, you know you're going to get buried by the manager afterwards if you do that kind of thing. So, yeah, that was disappointing. On the Mubama one, I just think sometimes, even if there isn't contact, sometimes the way you take the ball around a goalkeeper means you just have to, do you know what I mean, maneuver out of the way, stop yourself getting crunched, and that can knock you off balance. I just didn't think it was a dive. And on that throw, the best bit about it was him basically leaping in the air. Like he lost full control of his body, lobbed it so hard. He sort of crashed onto the front on his back, didn't he, after he threw it. But Johansson is brilliant. I think West Ham might have got the wrong goalie out of the Championship in this window. But
need a Scandinavian goalkeeper who's in the Championship, they cried.
Look, on Southampton, look, it was an open game, much more open maybe than we anticipated. 30 shots, they shared 7 big chances, four of which went to Stoke. So that tells you plenty, doesn't it, about how good Stoke are with their front four at the moment. and the midfield behind who are really good at. Their midfield, I think, has been a bit of a weak spot, Stokes. But in fairness to this pairing, Seco and Baker, they're on the opponents. They're really good without the ball. And they've made a difference. Saints, I don't know. Yeah, he was ruthless, wasn't he? Ahead of kickoff. You see the team, obviously Kwashi, who signed in the summer, had a bit of a mare really at Ipswich, straight out of the team. So that was quite a strong decision from him. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, they're creating a lot of chances, Southampton. I mean, we'll get to XG later because there's a big XG fail in that Coventry game. But if you look at the XG table, Southampton are top. Like, they create 7.46 XG, which tells you that they're missing too many chances. So, but it also shows that they're creating. So they just, what they need is Armstrong and Downs and all these guys. You know, they've got three or four strikers. They just need one of them or two of them to click. And I think Southampton will be okay.
Yeah, I noticed that Sauber Thomas has 5 goal involvements in three games. He had 4 in France last season for 25 appearances. A lot of those off the bench, but he started the season absolutely flying. And Johansson, everything I want from a Scandinavian goalkeeper, looks like a character, Viking-esque. I don't know if they're Swedish Vikings, but do you know what I mean? He's brilliant around the place as well. He seems to be a real character.
Chris Iwenemo told me that he's absolutely mad. Like, because obviously, you know, he's sort of in at Stoke. He's a bit of a legend there. Sure, he told me that he's, I don't know what his term was. It was something along the lines of fruitcake. Like, he's just a little bit mad, which I take as a positive because, you know, you want big characters in your dressing room, don't you? So, yeah, I absolutely love him. And Sauber Thomas, you're right. Remember watching for Wales in the summer in one of the qualifiers, and he was really good. He was outstanding. I just think that and then the move has just given him renewed belief for this season. He looks a real threat, doesn't he, at championship level?
Both in League Cup action this week. Stoke at home to Bradford. Southampton go to Norwich, both those games on Tuesday. Speaking of Norwich, well, Middlesbrough are only behind Stoke on goal difference after they won against Norwich at Carrow Road. 2-1 the score here. Rumours that Finnazaz might be off soon, but he gave Borough the lead just before half time. Oh, I mean, Adrian, I thought these were two really poor goals for Norwich to concede. The first one, maybe it's a bit of a cliche to say goalkeeper being at his near post, but goodness me, Tommy Conway's tapping. The Norwich defence were in a different postcode.
Yeah, it wasn't great, was it? It wasn't great. I always look at it, I try and look at it from the positive, and I see for both those goals, the two midfielders, Hackney and Morris, really proactive and making things happen and playing a big part in the goals. But yeah, Norwich can't be happy with that defending. On that sort of aggression and winning the ball back in good areas, though, they've won the most tackles in the Premier League, in the Championship so far this season, Borough. I think he's definitely got a little bit of physicality about the team now. Rob Edwards didn't have that much of the ball in the game, maybe as you'd expect, because Norwich want to have possession. But yeah, they just made the most of the chances that they got. Again, created 4 big chances at Carrow Road. That's impressive. Where's Azaz being linked with them? Because I think him and Whitaker are sort of just starting to get going, aren't they, in that sort of two of tens. Right, okay. Yeah, I suppose it's a financial boost for him, isn't it? Like, size-wise at the clubs, it's not really any different, is it, Southampton Borough? I don't know if I'd be jumping at that. I just think the setup seems to suit him and Whitaker at the moment. Yeah, Ayling's enjoying himself, isn't he? It's sort of right side centre back rather than as a right back. I think it was a natural progression for him. But yeah, it was a bad day for Norwich, wasn't it? I think not many positives. Lovely goal. I mean, Kenny McLean's pass and then lovely little lob from Josh Sargent. Diallo did well at wing back. That aside, it wasn't the best. And I think in midfield, They did really struggle. Topic and obviously Wright, who got the red card. I think that they were bullied a little bit by Hayden Hackney and Aidan Morris. So yeah, well played, Middlesbrough. Again, what a start for them.
Yeah, I think just quite contrasting from what I've seen to Norwich's start to last season, when I remember covering a few games and being really excited about the attacking play, how bold they were as well. And I think similarities to Southampton, really, you know, at home, you want to be on the front foot. three centre halves, lack of attacking impetus, other than obviously Sargent, who's got three of the four goals, only two from open play so far for Norwich. So I just think, yeah, probably the way we anticipated the game going, yeah, there was three goals, but I think Norwich's setup is probably, in contrast to last season, they're a little bit more defensively minded. Both the goals down the left-hand side, Cordoba playing over there. And I think when they went down to 10 men, they looked a little bit more stable with a back four. So I think that's something to keep an eye on with Southampton and Norwich. And yeah, Middlesbrough, more intensity. Obviously, they're playing with a back three as well, but they're looking more like a team, more cohesive. Adrian mentioned those holding midfield players. You know, I waxed lyrical about Morris last season, him and Hackney. If they can keep that kind of axis together, that's a really strong midfield. And yeah, the front three have started the season well. So encouragement. On the back of the Pete Wilde story, do you want a quick Kenny McLean Portugal story?
Always.
So I'd claimed the silverware already by this point on the Portugal golf trip. More on that later.
Summer 2025?
I'm sure. Summer 25. And I hadn't been drinking alcohol because I'd been absolutely wired in to the final day of competition. We had about a 20-minute commute from, I don't know why we're in America now, we had about a 20-minute commute from the accommodation to where we were dining, obviously where I was going to toast my victory. I felt really nauseous in the car, just like car sick.
Then in the back, yeah.
Felt terrible. Like, and I was really looking forward to getting out, looking forward to ordering my filet mignon and the lads, you know, obviously lining my Pinot Noirs up for the evening. But I felt terrible. So there was a little medical centre next to where we were and I went and told the lady I feel a little bit sick, blah, 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 blah. She gave me some pills, anti-sickness pills. Went for a walk just to clear the head, was kind of in a little bit of parkland, I would say. Kenny McLean and his wife walked past to see me in all kinds of trouble. Managed to pull it round. Just had the conversation like nothing was going on. They were obviously laughing their heads off at my plight, but lovely to see him and nice to see him assisting on the back of it.
Yeah. He wasn't needed like Luke 09, obviously, but he was there for you if you needed it, right?
I think he was just thinking that I was probably a little bit worse for wear and that maybe I'd gone a little bit heavy on the on the lagers on the golf course. But I can assure you that it was just water and Coca-Cola as I kept the huge advantage intact on the final day.
Well, I was going to say that Middlesbrough have signed Matt Target on the season loan from Newcastle, but that kind of feels secondary now after that. So instead, we'll move on. What a day it was then for Coventry, who announced they'd completed the purchase of the CBS Arena ahead of welcoming and then humiliating Queen's Park Rangers there. You know it's a hammering when the video printer spells it out, S-E-V-E-N-1. The final score, 5-0 by half-time. BBC Sports Final Score EFL pundit opined that Cov are full of goals. That's the kind of insight you can expect from their new columnist. No, it is a great column that Sam has up on the BBC website. So once we've finished here, go and read it. One of the takeaways, Sam, was that Coventry now score different types of goals. You were worried they're a bit one-dimensional towards the end of last term.
Yeah, I think probably said it on last week's podcast. Yeah, I think a hell of a lot of their play went through Rodoni towards the end, even in build-up. I think he's afforded loads of freedom to go and pick the ball up. He doesn't really have a set position. And I think getting the ball wide, getting in the box, probably winning fouls in the final third so they could load the box from set pieces was a big part of their success and probably affected some of the other players that they were a bit one-dimensional. So, yeah, it's been really refreshing, I think. I mean, having Torp in there, playing the way that he is. Yeah, the midfield, Grimes, Torp and Rodoni, that is, you know, right up there in terms of balance and talent. It probably actually lacks a little bit of bite if you're being a little bit critical. But yeah, three lovely footballers. And yeah, they were just so clinical in this game, weren't they? Were 8 shots, 7 goals, which is remarkable. I don't think the keeper covered himself in glory for the first. I think Victor Torp, one of those, should probably have been saved as well. But I just think the mobility of the front players, the want to play forward over the top, and obviously the closing from the front just exposed QPR for a lack of pace and probably naivety in the way they were trying to build up. There was the terrible giveaway, was it for the second? I think that was Jimmy Dunn with a stray pass. So they played on QPR's fragility, their weaknesses, and they dispatched them. It was a perfect day for them. And I'll let Clarkey come in now on commentary before I absolutely tear QPR to shreds further.
Tell me how this works then, Adrian. How do you get a 1.11 XG and end up scoring 7 goals?
Yeah, I got 1.27 on the ones that I got. So it's slightly closer. But yeah, look, I'm not a fan of XG, definitely not on an individual match-by-match basis. It can be misleading. I think over time it maybe works out, but it is very arbitrary, some of these figures that they come up with, but it's nonsense. What it shows you is that the finishing was very good, that the goalkeeper definitely had a bit of a mare. I mean, what is the story there with Walsh over Nardi? Because Nardi, for me, had a really good season.
I agree with you. There was talk of him leaving, wasn't there? I don't know. I mean, Joe Walsh, I don't want to absolutely cane him this morning because that's not fair, but I think he's had one game for Gillingham and seven for Accrington amongst, you know, various loans. It's not, you know, someone who's been probably in League One and played an entire season and really contributed. So I don't get it because I like Nardi. But yeah, there was a lot of talk of him moving on. For what reason, I don't know. But certainly could have done better with a few of them.
Yeah, and Cobb, very quickly, obviously they did this without Sakamoto and Sheaf. Two excellent players. So there's more to come from them. You know, they're still really carrying Ellis Sims. I think maybe, I don't know whether he's going to stay or not, but still think one more striker, maybe one centre back would be worth it. Obviously, you know, everyone played well in this game, but do think to finish top two, which has to be their aim for Coventry, I think a better quality in the centre of defence and someone to compete with Hadji Wright and Asante up front would be good. But yeah, Radoni's the one for me. I mean, when I think about Morgan Gibbs-White, when he was in the Championship, think about a lot of those players that are now shining in the top flight. I look at Radoni and think he's playing just as well as they were. So at, what is he, 24? I think he will be in the top flight next season, the way he's going. Not saying it looks too easy for him. I sense that he will soon outgrow the second tier. I just think he's got a lot of class about him, and his goals here were real quality as well. So yeah, fast, fluid football from Cov. Let's go. When I watched him on the opening day, cross. And they're good at getting on the end of crosses, don't get me wrong. They scored loads of headers last year, but in this match, they had more strings to their bow, and that was great to see.
Maybe Frank Lampard can ask the owner to open up the checkbook and get a few more in now that it looks as though they're set for another season where they can challenge. Won't say the same about Rangers then, Sam. Yet to win under Julian Stefan, knocked out of the Carabao Cup by League One Plymouth. Tell me how bad they were, but also what did you make of Ryan Coley, 20 years old, being the one to go over to the away end at the end and try and placate some of the supporters? It seemed to go down pretty well, a bit risky from his point of view.
Yeah, I don't think ever advised really going over to the away support, especially in the aftermath of an absolute pumping at the hands of the Coventry. I think there's better ways to communicate with the supporters, but he's been, you know, a decent young player, Coley, so far in the infancy of his career. So hopefully there was some decent dialogue rather than the abuse.
Julian Stefan, you were very excited about his arrival, Sam. I don't know, what did you call him? It wasn't the next Wenger, was it? But, you know, you were bigging him up. What's the vibe now?
The vibe is that Marty Cifuentes was pulling up absolute trees, I would suggest. And when you just look at the 11 at the weekend, I mean, it's easy today. And again, I don't want to batter them because it's one hellish result, but they were woeful for 45 minutes at Watford as well. They're overplaying, that seems for sure. I think that Marty Cifuentes had a really nice balance. And at times, you know, it wasn't back to front, but there was no kind of playing through the thirds. I think he recognised the flaws in the side. And that front four I was so excited about. No Chair at the weekend. Poku injured all of a sudden. Kone probably not up to speed. They look incredibly light. I'm not sure if Cook and Morrison's going to be a good enough centre-half pairing. You've got a novice at left-back who they signed from Flamengo, playing his first games. You've got Jimmy Dunn still being deployed at right-back, which was a masterstroke initially. I'm not sure it's the answer long-term. So you can look throughout the team at the moment. It's light. It needs some help. But obviously you have to be patient, which would be my sentiment with, you know, all the new managers across the Championship, but need a response.
Step forward Arsenal, though, to save the day, 6 million. heading towards Queen's Park Rangers for...
From the Azza money.
Yeah.
All right, Rangers with plenty to do then. By the way, while we're talking QPR, get well soon to Andy Sinton, who suffered a heart attack last week. Club say they're recovering well. Right, final championship chat comes from Bramall Lane, where Salah's stinky start in Sheffield shows no sign of slowing. His blades blunted by Millwall. Luke Cundall, the match winner in Yorkshire. Clark, it's a mean thing to say, but Ruben Salah's is very much the favourite to be the first championship manager to get his P45 at this rate.
Yeah, it's not working, is it? It's again, I think he should be given a little bit longer because I do think he's a good coach. But yeah, what he's trying isn't working, isn't coming off. I do think that the balance of the team isn't right. I think I mentioned this before, but yeah, there's a lot of attacking players in that team. O'Hare and Harmer either side of Peck. Crowbar and Cannon in on the right. I'm not sure that's going to work. Louis Barry on the left, that's fine. And Tyrese Campbell up front. That's a lot of attacking players. Should be boosted by Tanganga, Sam's fave. Missed this game, didn't he? Because he's in advanced talks with Sheffield United. So
did you enjoy him being part of the Millwall players going over to applaud at the end and getting serenaded with Jaffet, what's the score, by the travelling Millwall contingent?
Did he do that?
But that was one of the better moments of the weekend.
I think Alex Neil said he wanted to play, which the type of character that I believe he is, you wouldn't have been surprised if he'd have turned out and been really good and then signed for Sheffield United in the 48 hours after.
So yeah, no, I mean, yeah, it isn't working, but it's not to say it won't. Yeah, they're being punished at the moment, aren't they? And yeah, this was a really good performance from Millwall. I mean, let's face it, who is the man of the match? The man of the match was the Millwall goalie. It was, but Bender made some unreal saves in this game.
Yeah, Barry and Harmer, they're standout ones, right?
Yeah, so I think Blades fans should cut Sellers a little bit of slack because they could have won the game, but for some amazing goalkeeping.
What's Millwall's ceiling, do you think, Sam, this season? 6 points from 3 games so far. They kind of picked up where they left off at the end of last term, haven't they?
Yeah, playoffs. I think, you know, when you looked at the teams at the outset of the season, they were ones that I felt that could improve on last season. It's going to be difficult because they're not going to have the strength in depth of other teams, but Alex Neil sets them up brilliantly, especially away from home. Obviously, last week was a little bit sobering at home to Middlesbrough, but, you know, the front two are a real threat. I think Coburn already looking to be an excellent full-time acquisition after the loan. Ivanovic, if they keep hold of him, there was a lot of speculation a couple of weeks ago, and that will probably return in the next few days. But I like the look of the team. He's done great getting those two in there. Left-hand side with Sturge, he's had a great start to life at Millwall. Cundall tucking in, so you gain that extra body probably by not playing two out-and-out wingers. So that solidifies you in the middle. And the goalkeeper, absolutely excellent in these early days of his Millwall career. So, yeah, loads to like. Difficult, I think, at this stage to go all in on them. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they were a team to get themselves into the playoff when you consider the ascendancy that they've been on. Just on Sheffield United, I mean, 5 defeats, here we go, the old 5-6 straight defeat, difficult for any manager to keep his job. Middlesbrough and Ipswich, the next two for Sheffield United. So 5 league games, straight defeats, 6 in all competitions. Yeah, that's difficult to ride, but I'm 100% with Clarkey. Got to have patience. I said that they needed to bolster the squad last week. Godfrey obviously came in and played right back in this game. Tanganga's going to join that. I'm sure they're going to do something in the forward departments. They need that just to give the fans a little bit of a boost, but the change in style is not working. And he's going to have to look at that formation, as Clarkey says, because the midfield's getting overrun. He's had Tom Cannon playing out of position. And at the moment, it's not translating onto the pitch at all. I'd have Hamer back on the left hand side, to be honest, where he played last season. And I have the left back Burrows bombing on the outside of him, and at least that would, you know, give you opportunity to put a little bit more strength in the midfielder and get Hamer higher up the pitch where he can affect things rather than looking for the ball in his own half, as he was on Saturday.
Well, a week for Ruben Sellers to work on the training ground. They're not involved in the midweek League Cup action. Millwall take on Coventry in a game that I think will probably feature two very heavily rotated sides. All right, we'll talk League One next. Before we get to the game, shout out then to Mansfield's Regan Hendry for scoring what I think Clarkie is the best goal from the halfway line I've ever saw. Sam and I were at Stamford Bridge not that long ago, and we saw Moises Caicedo do this. But I think the fact that he wins it back and the next kick of the ball is flighted beautifully, doesn't bounce, just hits the net. It was a thing of beauty. I've watched it on the feet.
Yeah, it's 10 out of 10, isn't it? But was it a foul? Nah, it wasn't.
Not in League One.
not in League One. But no, he's nice and strong. And then he doesn't really have time to even sort of look up. He just instinctively can obviously see with his peripheral vision that the keeper's outside his box. Yeah, amazingly executed from Regan Hendry, a player that Sam brought to all of our attention. What was it? 3-4 years ago, I reckon, on this show. He's doing all right, isn't he? And Mansford are doing all right. Scoring a lot of goals. I think they're joint top scorers in League One, 1-3 on the bounce. So, yeah, I really enjoyed Will Evans' goal in the game as well. Like left foot half volley, absolute rasper. You couldn't call it anything else but a rasper, really. But, the Hendry goal was amazing. Fantastic.
Very, very golf shot energy to it, Sam, which I'm sure you would have appreciated.
Yeah, it's always good when it goes in on the full, isn't it? I like the buzz as it reached its intended target from the crowd as well. There was a nice build up before the explosion.
Did you reach for now?
Oh, no. I did the crossbar challenge for Soccer AM when I was at St Mirren, and it was like not, it wasn't too bad, but no, I can hit the bar from the halfway line. No chance.
No. I mean, I'm talking about these days, but even when you was a pro.
Oh, even when I was playing, No. I was Jimmy Greaves, pass it in the corner.
Once you finished here, listener, go and put Mido Crossbar Challenge into YouTube for the very best crossbar challenge fail of all time. But we're not talking about fails, we're talking about successes. And one of those came for Plymouth. Much needed 3 points for Tom Cleverley as his team beat Blackpool by a 2-0 at Home Park. And it capped off a good couple of days for them, Clarkie, with the signing of Lauren Talai from Port Vale, who almost scored on his debut here. But three much-needed points, as I say, for Argyle and particularly their new gaffer.
Yeah. Predicted it, as we'll find out later in the prediction. Not 1-0, unfortunately. But I just felt like Plymouth weren't that bad and that their time was come. Their time was coming. And Blackpool haven't been defending great, have they, so far this season? So, yeah, no, it looked all right. It looked like they played some nice football. Malachi Boateng scored a fantastic goal, didn't he, to win it for them. I mean, you could ask questions about Blackpool and how soft they were in the challenge. But, yeah, that was a lovely jinking run and finish. Talaj from Port Vale, $1.2 million is a lot of money, isn't it, for a club in League Two? I know they got plenty of money for Ryan Hardy, but I think they got money for him. Unless he left on a forever, I'm pretty sure they must have bought him. So they just reinvested it in a guy that I don't know. Is he a definite number nine? I always saw him as a forward that can sort of flit around. So yeah, let's see. I did like him at Port Vale. So yeah, let's see how they go. But yeah, I mean, good performance. The centre halves were really good in the game. I think Alex Mitchell, who they've got on loan from Charlton, did really well alongside Brendan Galloway. Loads and loads of clearances between those two. So yeah, off and running. And I rate Cleverley. I think he's a really smart manager. I think he will have a good career as a gaffer. But he kind of needs Plymouth to get some momentum now just to before he loses his job, because we know what League One and the Championship and League Two are like.
Yeah, it's a new team, isn't it? So I think, reoccurring theme, just need a little bit of patience. Only two regular starters from last season in the 11.
Yeah.
Stooch, the centre half, and Mumba. Obviously, a lot of people have moved on. Talai, 15 in 41 at Port Vale. So, yeah, really good return there. And 19 in 44 at Aldershot the previous season. So, he's had two really goal laden campaigns, hence, teams looking at him. Big outlay, but I think a number nine they've absolutely been short of. So, that should, he should cement that position. Blackpool, the worst defence in the league, 12 conceded 72 shots so far, and lost five.
A whole new defence, didn't they, as well?
I mean, the two centre-halves were, I can't recall, oh, it was a Higway, wasn't it? Yeah, who just got strolled past for the goal. The other end of the pitch, obviously Ennis suspended, Fletcher out as well, so I think they'll improve in that regard, and there was a few nearly moments for them, but I think it's Bolton next up for Blackpool, and already question marks about Steve Bruce, given, you know, the backing, the players that have come in the summer, and and a pretty woeful start to the season, just the solitary victory. And here, yeah, I think Argyle, good value for the win, and expect them probably to turn the corner now, given the, what, three new additions in the week, Mitchell included, who Clarkey highlighted, had a really good game here and a clean sheet.
Yeah, shout out to the 400 or so Blackpool fans who did the near 10-hour, near 700-mile round trip to watch their team have two shots on target and lose.
Your boy from Forest, Dale Taylor, he scuffed one, didn't he, inside the six-yard box, best chance they had. So, yeah, no, that's fair play to them for making that journey. Amazing.
Elsewhere, Wimbledon can feel rightly chuffed with how their return to League One's gone thus far, only beaten by the odd goal against Luton and Cardiff. On Saturday, they earned their third win back in the third tier. They beat Barnsley 2-0 in South London. Key moment in this game, Sam, great save from Nathan Bishop, or a bad miss from David McGoldrick, however you want to look at it. But yeah, really good from your mate's team so far.
I ain't going to have a go at Didsy either, mate. That's his nickname, isn't it? When his overhead kick in the second half, that was worth the admission fee alone, David McGoldrick. But yeah, outstanding save from Bishop. Obviously, you can gamble there and fully commit to the dive, but remarkable and a massive moment in the game. And that was a pretty defining moment. I just thought, yeah, perfect day really for the home side. Limited them to just those couple of opportunities, two strikers getting goals, defensively really good again, and colossal performance from Ryan Johnson, who's had a great start to the season. He was the best player at Luton on the opening night, but scored a ridiculously comedy own goal to give Luton the maximum points. But 13 clearances, 6 blocks, most touches, most tackles. He's had an excellent start to the season, and Joe Lewis was unavailable for this one, so he stood up. Yeah, word for Hackford, who they've got from, I think, after he was released from Sheffield United. Electric pace. What a goal.
Really
lovely
finished.
Pass from Smith, and the first touch, taking it on his back foot into the space. Talk about perfection. It's set up beautifully. Left foot touch, right foot finish off the inside of the post. So a pretty perfect day. And yeah, 3 wins from 5 to start the new campaign in League One, when everyone anticipated it being an absolute battle for the entirety of the season, is great shooting. And it was the Barnsley centre-backs, actually, I wanted to highlight. Josh Earle, Jack Shepherd, who was on loan last year. Defensively, I think, you know, they're going to have issues and maybe just need to strengthen that department.
Early days, Clarkey, we're just looking at the League One table. Obviously, Cardiff have started brilliantly, 4 wins and a draw from 5 for them. Huddersfield, we thought they were going to be strong as well, but we may be seeing the benefit of there not being a Birmingham and a Wrexham in the league this year, because it feels like there's an opportunity for other teams to at least make a decent run for the playoffs, and we're not just going to see a couple of teams stroll away with the top 2 places.
Yeah, I hope not. You hope it's not the Cardiff and sort of Huddersfield show, don't you? And yeah, no, I think, yeah, others are showing that they can be really competitive, aren't they? So yeah, look, the Wimbledon won't be getting promoted, I'm pretty sure of that, but they have had a great start. Two goals let in 5 games. Beat Barnsley at home 2-0. Lincoln, who have started well, and have beat them at home 2-0. So yeah, fantastic. But yeah, the moments you picked out are spot on. There was some really good football as well, I think, from the Dons. Yeah, it's not ugly to watch either. It's they're a really balanced team. When they went up last year, yes, it was about a really solid defence, but they can go direct, but they can also play. You know, they've got players that can knock it around very nicely as well. And we saw that with that brilliant through ball from Ali Smith.
Go to Reading in the League Cup in the week. Of course, they've already won there a couple of weeks ago in League One. The game we're going to look at in League Two saw Gillingham beat Crewe by 1-0. So Crewe's perfect start is over. But it's been a perfect start, Adrian, for Gareth Ainsworth as Gillingham manager. He hasn't lost yet. In fact, they are 17 unbeaten in all competitions, albeit this marked their first back-to-back victory since December.
Yeah, this is a bit of him, isn't it? Gillingham, I think that, yeah, there's no expectations on style of play really at Gillingham. I think in the fourth tier, Gareth Ainsworth's style of football can be super effective, can't it? The front two that he had at the weekend, heavily involved. So Elliot Nevitt had 7 shots himself, which was the same amount as Crewe, actually. His strike partner, Josh Andrews, had 23 aerial duels in the game, which I think tells you plenty about the style of play. When I looked at the highlights, it looked to me as if Crewe were really unlucky. You know, they hit the woodwork a couple of times, created probably the better chances. And it felt like a bit of a smash and grab with the goal late on from a corner. So, but you can't knock that record. you know, it's a long, long unbeaten streak now for them in League Two. And given how solid they are, given who they've beaten as well, by the way, they've seen off Walsall, Chesterfield and Crewe at home. Sam's seen Walsall, says they're decent. We know Chesterfield are good. Crewe have had a blinding start to the season, but, you know, they've all been dispatched. So I think we have to take Gillingham quite seriously this season.
Yeah, a couple of things I wanted to pick out. 50% share of the ball, which is very unusual. These two teams, I would say. Sam Vokes replacing, I would presume, one of those aforementioned strikers. Three really physical guys, and it was his nuisance factor allowing the ball to drop for Sam Gale, who I think was on loan last season. So he came in latterly the previous campaign, looks like a decent player. And seven second-half goals. For Gillingham, four goals in the last 15 minutes. That's the most in both those categories. So mindset, determination to keep going to the end, you know, things you'd associate with Gareth Ainsworth's teams. And I'm completely with Clarkey, because I think they tried, didn't they, under the previous couple of managers, Stephen Clements, let's try and play better football. But a bit like Wickham, a bit like AFC Wimbledon, two of Gareth Ainsworth's former clubs, obviously Wimbledon before the debacle of the MK Dons saga, etc., etc. Yeah, there's no, I think, pressure for you to play through the thirds at Gillingham. I think you can approach it however you like. And I think if you can get his feet under the table there and have some continuity, they could finally get it right.
Well, we shall see. It looks like another tight division, that one, actually. Just, 4 points between first and 12th at the moment. A bigger gap, I'm afraid to say, in our predictions league, particularly this week. Goodness me. Adrian, you got 4 points because you got, what did you get right? Well, Leicester.
Yep.
Yeah, you got a perfect score there, and then you picked up a point for tipping Plymouth to beat Blackpool too. Me and Sam didn't get anything. I'm already starting to be cut adrift here. Sam, it's very rare that you don't even get a solitary point. What on earth happened there?
Give me the games again.
Charlton Leicester, you said it'd be a 1-1 draw. Plymouth Blackpool, you said it'd be a 2-2 draw. Crawley Tranmere, you said it'd be a 1-0 home win. It was a 2-0 away win.
Yeah, that's the only one that I've had a stinker with, really, isn't it? Didn't see Tranmere turning up and doing that.
Well, look, a chance to improve on things this week. I'll let you go first. We've gone for a League Cup special. All these ties on Wednesday, they're all Premier League against EFL clubs. So go on then, Sam. Second game at the Hill Dickinson. Rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Everton against Mansfield. Regan Hendry from the halfway line again, or are you just going to give me a score?
Yeah, well, they'll enjoy it, won't they? Understandably, but so will the Everton players. So for that reason, fringe players turn it on. 4-1 Everton.
Give Mansfield a goal at least. I'm going to go 3-0. What about you, Adrian?
Yeah, I think we're all thinking along the same lines. I'm going to go for Everton 3, Mansfield 1. I will read the score out, even though you brushed over it very quickly, just because, you know, it makes good reading for me. Matt on 2, Sam on 5, Clarkey on 14. So, yeah, it's a lightning fast start to the campaign.
Feels like a big
put weeks right. Yeah, they're going to put things right this season. I let myself down last year.
Potential for banana skin factor here, I reckon, then, Clarkey. Grimsby against hapless Manchester United.
Not for me, Clive. I think that Grimsby is a difficult ground. I never won there. It's some absolute stinkers there. It's quite intimidating, and Manu will definitely obviously rotate. I think they're going to scrap out an ugly win. I think Grimsby will be really competitive, but they'll get beat 1-0.
Sam?
Yeah, I'm thinking along the same line, so I'll give Grimsby a goal. Ugly, but get it done. 2-1.
I will go for, sorry, Grimsby, 0-3. I'm going to go first then on Fulham against Bristol City. This reeks to me of a 1-1 draw and then Fulham to win on penalties. Sam, what you got?
Yeah, that's what I had. Completely agree. I'll go for a 2-1 home win. I think Fulham's fringe players, when I looked at the bench from the weekend, they've got an abundance of quality there. So just to get it done, maybe a late goal.
What about you, Clark? Are you going to back Struber's squad?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I think that it could be an upset here. Fulham, to my mind, don't have amazing cup pedigree. And for me, Bristol City in recent years, albeit under different managers, have kind of gone quite far and got themselves into some quite good cup ties. It's just part of their modern DNA. So I'm going to go Fulham 2, Bristol City 3 in an absolute belter in front of 6,000 at a cottage.
4,000 away fans. Yeah, yeah, absolutely nailed on. All right, we'll let you know how we get on with that next week. A reminder before we go of the offer from our partners, Quinbet, where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum three bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for information on responsible gambling. As I say, there'll be a link to that offer in the show notes. And if you keep across our social media channels, primarily X, where we are at EFL Watt, and you'll see the offer that we put up for this weekend's games as well. Speaking of X, formerly known as Twitter, we'll finish as ever with Tweet of the Week. It comes from Swindon Town's Connor Ripley, who says, with a nice picture of himself applauding the fans, "Huge effort from everyone today, exclamation mark. We had to bounce back from Tuesday, and we did. Muscly arm emoji at official STFC, hashtag STFC, white heart emoji, red heart emoji. Run-of-the-mill stuff, Sam, and you're very much here for it."
It's the reason we started this little feature, isn't it? It's perfect in that regard. He's tweeted after a mistake 5 days ago against Barnet in the home defeat. So that's kind of his first of the season, kind of critiquing a performance or shedding light on something that's happened in game. So he's come back with that after a fine performance. Obviously, he's got the plaudits in the replies. Is that it now? Does he put the phone away, or is he going to have to comment on every game? That's what I'm intrigued about now, because he set a bit of a precedent here. Mistake, yeah, sorry, chaps. And then he's gone fishing for the compliments after this one. So we'll see what the weeks ahead look like for him.
Interesting that he posted it at 10:13 in the evening and it was still that dry. So he was obviously having a sober one that night. The replies are just as mundane, Clarkey, which is what really drew my attention to this. Matthew played well today, made some crucial saves. Ben, you had a good game, etc. and so on. It's kind of everybody 6 out of 10-ing this, and I'm just here for it.
It's just really boring, isn't it? And I just feel that really... Rippers should probably hang up his ex, just let it go. If that's all you're going to contribute, then just, yeah.
Oh, I think there's some good stuff here. Someone's complimenting his vocal contribution, which I'm enjoying.
Must have had a good call that. Yeah, steal that for some analysis next time. But yeah, like Sam said, you do it every game or just don't bother at all.
Wow. Okay. Fine. I'm just having a look, actually. He has a coffee shop that's got a soft play centre in it in Preston as well. The business is being run by ex-Preston North End goalkeeper Connor Ripley, who now plays for Swindon Town. It was designed so parents can relax and kids can play. I think we found our end of season do venue, Sam.
Nice little stop off on the way to the lakes for you, Matt, as well. You frequent that part of the world often. There you go.
We'll do a live pod from there before the season ends. Connor's again.
Has any parent ever been able to relax in a soft play? Seriously, come on, Connor.
Well, look, we'll keep across his output and keep you up to date with how it's going for Connor throughout the season. Possibly. So we're going to leave things for today, though. If you like this podcast, do us a favour, leave us a nice review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods, or just click the 5-star button. Remember to subscribe. That way you'll never miss an episode. We'll be back with another one next week. For now, though, from Sam, from Adrian, and from me, it's goodbye.